Okay, Rabotai. I can't welcome you, as always, to breakfast in the class, because there's no breakfast, but there are some opinions that say that on Seudah Shel Ishit, a person can fulfill their obligation by having words of Divrei Torah, like the Pasuk says, Lo Ra'av La'lechem Lo Tzam Al-Amayim, Kim L'shmua Divrei Hashem. So the words of Torah can themselves be sustaining and life-giving. So even though we don't have breakfast, we're having a non-breakfast in the class today to understand a little bit about what it is that we're fasting for. Now, this fast is unique. We've already expressed this in the Tefillah. For those of you that were able to follow, the language is not so easy on the special Tefillot that we say for Asara B'Tevet. It's very flowery Hebrew. So if you're not an expert, it's not always so easy to be able to understand what's going on. But what we're talking about broadly is two separate things. The first thing is the story of Nebuchadnezzar surrounding the city of Yerushalayim. So just to be able to understand where that is from a context of history, the Jewish people enter into the land of Israel. They have a Mishkan. After they have the Mishkan, David HaMelech decides he's going to buy a plot, and on that plot he's going to build a Beit HaMikdash. He does not manage to build a Beit HaMikdash, even though he manages to acquire the plot, and it is his son Shlomo HaMelech that manages to build the Beit HaMikdash, okay? That Beit HaMikdash lasts for 410 years. So from the time of King Solomon's reign, where he starts to build the Beit HaMikdash, until 410 years later, the Jewish people have a Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Okay, at that point, Nebuchadnezzar, who is the conqueror from Babylon, Babylonia is roughly the area which today would be modern-day Iraq, okay? So at that time, that was the region's superpower. He manages to conquer everything. But at that point, the beginning of his reign, what does he do? He surrounds the city of Jerusalem. Now, just so it's clear, at the time, I don't think he realizes that we could hear him. Maybe a little, yeah, we could hear you over here. It's a little bit, okay, a little bit quieter. So what does he do? He surrounds the city of Jerusalem, in order to be able to wage war against Yerushalayim. Why did they lay siege to cities back then? Because it was the easiest way to conquer a place. All you needed to do was cut off supplies, and all of a sudden the people inside this walled city, they had no food, they had no drink. It's only a matter of time before the people are weak enough that you could just walk in and take over. So at that point, they laid siege to the city for quite some time. It took a long time for all of the resources of the city to become depleted. And at that point, when Nebuchadnezzar breaks through the walls, there's very little that the people can do to turn him back. In fact, when we read about Echa, the psukim that tell us in Echa what was going on there, it's devastating. So which Beit HaMikdash is that referring to? That's referring to the first temple. Already by the end of the second temple, we have no Nevi'im left, okay? So those first Pesukim are describing the story of the end of the reign of the Jewish kings, ending with the king Tzidkiyahu, okay? So we're talking about the end of the reign of the Jewish kings and the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash under Nebuchadnezzar. So that happens on this day. They manage to break through the walls of the city, and that's the end. They burn the Beit HaMikdash to the ground, and that is the day of Asara B'Tevet. Now, it's an interesting thing, because we have a day commemorating the burning of the Beit HaMikdash. What day is that? Jabav. We have the day, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, where they broke through the walls to get into the city, right? What day is that? We know, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. That's when they break through the walls. So on Asara B'Tevet, what's happening on Asara B'Tevet? They're just surrounding the city. They're laying siege that they're eventually going to bust through the walls. So it seems a little funny to have a fast for this and a fast for that. Like, we're going to have a fast for the day for Netanyahu. Nebuchadnezzar had toast the day before he went. So we're going to have a fast. And before that, Nebuchadnezzar, he told the people to get their swords. So that's another fast. How many fasts are you going to do? What is the fast when we talk about the fact that he surrounded the city, that he laid siege to it? You're going to fast when he breaks in. You're going to fast when he destroys the temple. Why do you got to fast now as well? And my friends, I think that there's a very powerful lesson over here too. In the special tefillot that we said this morning, the tefillot talk about the fact that on the day of Asara B'Tevet is the day of the laying siege to the city, but it's also the day that Ezra HaSofer passes away. That's the day of Ezra the Sofer, the scribe, the day of his Pitira. Now, again, there's so many Sadiqim that passed away. Why do we single out Ezra HaSofer's death on this day as a reason for Asara B'Tevet? And the answer, my friends, comes when a person understands a little bit of the history of what was going on at the time. Let's go back to when Ezra HaSofer lived. That's not in the story of Nebuchadnezzar. That is roughly 70 years later, after Nebuchadnezzar captures the Jews and brings them to Babel, like we say in the Mizmor Tehillim, Al Naharot Babel Sham Yashavnu Gam Bachinu, that they cried when they went into Babel, they hung their harps on the trees so that they shouldn't have to play the instruments that they used to play in the Beit HaMikdash. They shouldn't have to play it on a foreign land for a foreign king. The Chachamim tell us that at the time, they bit off the people that were skilled, they bit off their own fingers so that they couldn't be forced to play, so they'd be literally unable to play Sham Talinu Kinorotenu, etc., etc. But 70 years later, the Jewish people are no longer under the rule of Babel, because the Babylonian Empire is supplanted by the empire of the Persians, okay? The Persians is the story of Purim. So when we're watching all these events unfold, the Jewish people leave Israel, they go to Babel. Babel and Paras U'Madai are neighbors. Persia and Media, they take over, what's it called? They take over Babylonia. That's the story of Esther. And finally, the Jews go back by the son or grandson of Esther, who actually allows the Jewish people. Esther has a son with Achashverosh. That kid's Jewish. He's the Persian king of the Persian Empire. He allows the Jews to go back, Cyrus and Darius, etc. They allow them to go back to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Who is the person that oversees the rebuilding of the second Beit HaMikdash? Ezra HaSofer and his partner Ezra and Nehemiah. The two of them are co-prophets at the same time. They're right at the end of the story of the prophets, the end of the Sefarim of the Tanakh, okay? What they are witnessing at that time is a terrible downward trend in the Jewish people. They're seeing assimilation, they're seeing Jews marry other faiths, they're marrying out of Judaism. There's a terrible decline in the knowledge of the Torah at the time, until Ezra HaSofer needs to come and rededicate the Torah and help the people start to learn again. And he strengthens the Jewish people's observance and their connection to Judaism in an unbelievable way. And then, unfortunately, with Ezra HaSofer's demise, the fact that he passed on this day, things started to unravel. My friends, Ezra's passing and Asara B'Tevet, the laying of the siege to the walls of the city, they represent the same thing. They represent the beginning of the end. My friends, the nations of the world, our world today, it only wakes up after the fact. After the subprime market crashes, then the banks decide that they're going to lend people money with better credit, less money. They're going to make it harder to give you a mortgage for 97% of your home, okay? After we learn lessons. After a person gets, their marriage falls apart, that's when they start learning the lessons. But Judaism teaches us to always focus on what's coming. Ezehu chacham, says the Mishnah, haro'eh et hanolad. Someone who could see that which is going to be given birth to. So when you're a wise person, where do you look? Not in your present, but in your future. You know, if Asara B'Tevet, which is the first of the four fasts, remember, Asara B'Tevet is when they lay siege to the city. Shiva Asar is when they break through the walls. Tisha B'Av is when they burn the Beit HaMikdash. And Tzom Gedaliah, when does that happen? After they're already banished. There's still a group of Jews living in Israel. So in order, which comes first of those four fasts? Asara B'Tevet. If we got the message, Rabotai, an Asara B'Tevet, there wouldn't be a Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. There wouldn't be a Tisha B'Av, and there wouldn't be a Tzom Gedaliah. The problem is that when Nebuchadnezzar lays siege to the city, no one notices. They don't notice the danger that they're in. When Ezra Sofer, who is literally the wall of the Jewish people protecting the Jewish community, when the wall falls, what's coming? You know that the enemy is going to be breaking through in just a matter of time. My friends, one of the things I like to encourage people to do on this day of the Ta'anit, the Mishnah Berurah writes that you could fast all day long from the earliest time in the Zmanim, Sammy, to the latest time. Not to 5:02 or 5:03 or 5:16 or 5:20. You could fast until Rabbeinu Tam, okay, if you want. And completely miss the point of the fast. The point of the fast is not so that you should be hungry. The point of the fast is so that you should be focused on your spiritual self. You should recognize the problems that are coming and do teshuvah and put yourself in a more somber mood. You know, couples that realize that things are starting to get problematic are couples that don't get into serious problems because their antennas are up and they fix the problems before they become untenable, before they become problematic. So each and every person today can take a look. And the thing to look for, my friends, is signs on the wall. Signs on the wall in relationships, signs on the wall in difficulty in attaining the levels of Torah, of Yirah. Noticing in yourself, you know what? I used to come to shul every day. Now, I'm coming to shul 3 days a week. I'm skipping 1 day a week. I'm not coming Sunday. That's your Asara B'Tevet moment. If you used to come to shul every week, and now you only go to shul on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that's Tisha B'Av Rohi. That's a complete destruction. Your Beit HaMikdash has been destroyed. If you're a person who doesn't know how to be nice in your home, you know, you've forgotten, you're fighting with everybody. Your wife, your children, your family, your parents. That's Tisha B'Av, the house is destroyed. But a person is much wiser to look for Asara B'Tevet, to start to see the problems that are laying in front of them and to solve them before things get any worse. So maybe today is a day for Asara B'Tevet-like introspection. What are the things that are just beginning to go wrong? That if I just kind of decided, you know what, instead of skipping Fridays, I'm going to go every day. You know, I used to learn twice a week. Now, I'm watching a 2-minute video, a short clip of inspiration a week, because that's all I can manage. Tell yourself, you know what, before it's nothing, let me get back into the zone. When a person can think that way and solve those problems before they get too far out of hand, they're able to fix things in a much easier and a much better way. Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be zocheh to experience the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash with the coming of Mashiach, the healing of all those that are unwell, the Tchiyat HaMetim, the reviving of all those that we missed, that are no longer with us, the reunification with our loved ones, with our parents, grandparents that have already passed. Be'ezrat Hashem, in the world of souls, in the world of spirituality, with the coming of Mashiach b'mehera, v'yamenu, amen. Rabbi Chananya, ben HaKasha, omer Ratzah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Zukot Yisrael, Tafika Yibad Em Torah B'Tzot Shneemar, Adonai, Hafetz, Eman, Tzidko, Yagdil, Torah, Ve'adir. Since this is live, you could actually answer amen to the Kaddish. B'chavod. Amen. 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 Yehi Shemir Abba Mevarach. Le'alam Omer Maya Yitbarach. Yishtabach. Yitba'ar. Yitrumah Minaseh. Yitadar. Yitalev. Yitalal. Shemir Dekutsha V'richu. Ella. Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Azaku Baruch. Rabotai, we already announced in the shul earlier that the laws of today's fast are not similar to the laws of Tisha B'Av. A person is able to shower, to use deodorant, to wear leather shoes. All those things which are relevant on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av are not relevant today. If a person is suffering and they're very sensitive and they're feeling like they need to brush their teeth and use mouthwash, then they are allowed to do so. Just lean over into the sink. If a person could handle not doing it, then that's okay. That's better. But if there's someone who's very sensitive to that, then they are allowed to do that. Just lean over so that there's no chance that you swallow that. If a person needs to take a pill on the day, if it's unflavored, then they're allowed to take the pill and just swallow it, no problem. If it's a flavored pill, then that becomes an issue. If all you have is a flavored pill and you want it and you need to be able to take it, then the halakha is that you're allowed to wrap it in a little tissue paper and swallow it with this, so that masks the flavor. Let's say a person needs to drink some water with their pills, so in order to be able to take it. So, of course, this is not for vitamins, but we're talking about a pill that a person needs to take, and they can't swallow it without water. So, what is someone meant to do? So, the halakha is in a scenario where they need to take the pill, then they should use something which is not ra'ui lishtia, which is not appropriate. No one would really drink it as a drink. So what they say to do is to take some hot water or cold water and just put some tea bags in it, so it becomes bitter. It's not something that you would ever enjoy drinking. And then you would, if it's very, very strong, then you would then take the pills with it. By the way, you would not make a shahakol on that, because as we said, it's not worthwhile, it's not worthy of drinking, so you'd be allowed to do that. Last but not least, the fast lasts until past sunset until evening. Just there are different opinions as to how early evening is in the halakha. Every person should follow their own rabbi in their own area that they're listening to find out the exact time. People could be listening to this around the world, so I don't want to say any times when there's different cities and different countries that are tuning in. Okay, last but not least, if a person is pregnant, most common question, if I'm pregnant, Rabbi, what's the halakha? Do I have to fast? After 3 months, for sure, Chaim Ovadia writes that a pregnant woman does not have an obligation to fast. She's allowed to break her fast, especially if she's not feeling well. Is she allowed to fast? Yes, she is, so long as it's not a sakana. So long as it's not, she's not feeling weak, she's not feeling like she needs to lie down or whatever. But if she is, then the halakha is after 3 months for sure into the pregnancy, she definitely should not be fasting if she's not feeling well. After giving birth, the halakha is a person has the law of a mi'uberet, which means someone who is already given birth, a menika. She's now nursing. So for 2 years after the birth of the child, she has a status of menika. Okay? So according to many opinions, especially if she is nursing, she's actually physically nursing, then she should not be fasting today because she needs to give that nourishment to the baby. She can if she feels very strong and healthy and able to give milk and still be healthy, but she does not have to. And if she's not nursing, let's say she's giving the baby bottles, so the halakha is as well, even if she's giving the baby bottles, she still has a halakha of a menika, and the body is weakened for that 2 year period after birth. So if she's feeling weak in any way, shape, or form, like she needs to lie down, she feels but the fast is having an effect on her, anything more than just a regular fast would have on someone when she's not that, so then the halakha would be as well that she is allowed to break her fast. The last thing I want to point out is that, as we said in the class, the main thing and the most important thing about this fast is to spend some time, do a little bit of reading online, find something that is inspiring, go on Torah Anytime or on iTorah.com and find a class that will tell you a little bit about what Asarah B'Tevet stands for, and maybe perhaps get a little inspired, because the main reason why they instituted these fasts was not to stop us from eating, but rather to change our focus and allow us to focus a little bit more on our spiritual side, and through that to achieve some level of teshuvah and growth. The minhag this afternoon varies for Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Ashkenazim do not wear tefillin by mincha, but Sephardim do. Some Sephardim also do not. I think it's Egyptians and some Lebanese as well that don't wear tefillin by mincha. Every person should follow the traditions of their community. One of the reasons why they make the extra berachot is because every day there's a halakha, a person's supposed to make 100 berachot every day. There was a takana from David HaMelech. So therefore, since a person is supposed to make 100 berachot every day, and you're missing all the berachot that you would make on food, berkat hamazon, etc., so we need to find other ways of adding those berachot. So tefillin, number one, helps that, but even if you're not going to have tefillin, or even just without tefillin, you still need more. So there's other berachot that a person can make throughout the day that that help them achieve that number. So as an example, you'd have an opportunity to do bisamim. You could do different bisamim throughout the day. Make sure that you're doing you're saying your asher yatzar. Make sure that you're doing other berachot that come up throughout the day. If you see a rainbow, you know, anything like that where you have an opportunity to make an extra beracha, you should. However, just don't go overboard, because a beracha that you make that you're not allowed to make is not correct. That's called beracha she'ena tzricha, a beracha that's not needed, or a beracha levatala. Okay? God bless. Good morning. Good morning, Abba. Okay. I don't know that handle. I'm not sure which one of my children that is. All right. God bless. And looking forward to seeing all of you, not just tonight at Mincha, but in the coming of Mashiach, Mirav Yamenu. We'll get together outside the Beit HaMikdash, have coffee as we come and bring our korbanot. There we should serve you, bring all the korbanot, all the prayers with Am Yisrael reunited again. It is a wild thing. I mean, not that we think that a person is supposed to go on Har HaBayit. We hold that today, Temple Mount, a Jewish person is not really allowed to go on, even though there are other people that do, but that's the way the halakha that we hold like. So today we have Ben Gvir is on Temple Mount. Now again, forget the politics for a minute, and forget even in a certain way, forget the halakha for a second. Just the fact that on the day that we're commemorating the fact that the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, you know, began, Am Yisrael is there and in a position where someone can actually walk on the Har HaBayit. It's a little bit sad that, you know, that Temple Mount, even though it's in our hands, is something which is a source of tremendous amount of fighting, and we have to kind of pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should take us there and remove all those things from on his Temple Mount and reinstate the Beit HaMikdash b'tifarta. May Hashem bless us to see the day that happens. All right. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen v'amen. Wonderful to see you all. The school of Rot b'nei Hamatzion Yerushalayim.